Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. It is a charged midterm election, certainly. The momentum can be felt here and across the country. More than 800,000 people in South Florida already have voted. That's higher than the number of people who voted early or by mail 4 years ago in the last midterm. Anna Klein is a regional organizer with Next Gen Florida. That's a liberal advocacy group active with the youth vote. She says her relationship to voting has changed over the last few years.
It's not just enough that I go to vote. I need to make sure my family members, my friends, my roommates, the people close to me, that I'm keeping them informed as well. And it's more of a societal responsibility.
Driana Sixto is the Gulf Regional Manager with Turning Point USA, a political advocacy group that focuses on college-aged voters. The 2016 presidential election, she says, was a turning point for her.
After the 2016 election and its outcomes and the policies put forth by the president-elected, my personal views have changed, and my loyalty, I think, was more towards mainstream conservatism.
What is motivating your vote this midterm election? Perhaps you're registered to vote, but have decided not to participate. Why not? We'd like to hear from you. Why aren't you going to the polls? We have been hearing from listeners all across South Florida. Tatiana from Broward County wrote us, "The 2016 election was absolutely piercing to my soul." She continued, "Though I have always been proactive in the election process, I am much more motivated and far more educated and informed than I ever have been." All right, Tatiana, thanks for your thoughts. Lisa in Parkland wrote, "I am now quite fearful of the direction of our country. It's increasingly unsafe to live here, and unless things change," Lisa writes, "I am not certain I will stay." Sean and Kendall in Miami-Dade, "I like to vote on the day of the election. My parents took me to the voting booth when I was a child, so I guess I was raised to be an informed voting citizen." Mayor Gillum, Sean writes, "has definitely motivated me to get other registered voters to the polls." We do want to hear from you. What's motivated you to vote? What have your experiences been if you voted by mail or early voting? Do you plan on showing up this weekend, or are you waiting for the final election day on Tuesday? 800-743-WLRN is our telephone number all across the four counties of South Florida. 800-743-9576. And of course, if you can't make it to a phone, or at least a phone call, but have your smartphone with you, just call us up on Twitter at WLRN. All right, let's talk about the voting landscape here with our three editorial page editors from the three major media organizations in South Florida. Nancy Ankrum with our partner Miami Herald is with us, Rosemary O'Hara from the Sun Sentinel, and Rick Christie at the Palm Beach Post. Always great to have the trio here with us in studio in Miami. Thanks so much. Nancy, let's start here. How do you see the landscape as we move into the final days of early voting on into the election day in South Florida?
Well, you know, you originally asked about what is motivating voters. I think that if you are a Democrat or a progressive, you are motivated by, you know, they say all politics is local.
That's right.
Well, the flip side in this particular race is the energy, the motivation is really coming from the top, as many of your callers have already said. And they do see Trumpism, they are concerned about Trumpism, and they see it trickling, if not trickling, maybe just a deluge of it pouring down into the states and into the local races. So that's motivating, I think, people on the left. On the right, I think the status quo is and maintaining that and increasing that footprint is motivating them to the polls.
Rick Christie, you're closest to the president in the winter White House at the Palm Beach Post. He hasn't come to visit this season quite yet. I'm sure it's on his calendar in November after the election day. But how do you see the landscape?
Yeah, we're all dreading Thanksgiving weekend, actually. part of the same thing that Nancy is saying. I think that folks are greatly motivated by what they have been seeing coming out of the White House, and certainly a number of politicians, even local state politicians anyway, are using some of that. But then I think also what we're seeing a good amount of people talking about when you get to the local issues is public education is a big motivator this year. I think in the wake of Parkland, some of that has died down some, depending on what county you're in. But in our county, where you have a penny sales tax,
right,
increase on a referendum on its public education is front and center.
Yeah.
Between that and the environment right now.
Yeah, it's a property tax increase on the ballot in Palm Beach County,
property
increase
tax,
on the ballot
sorry.
In Dade County as well, both of those for teacher salaries and apart for school security. Rosemary, are you seeing this, the excitement that your colleagues are seeing and noting driven by national politics? Is it filtering down into some of these state and local issues?
Yes. I agree that the White House is the elephant in the room in this election, that for some people, the economy being as great as it is, they want to continue the Republican control of Tallahassee and Washington. But I also think, besides the Trump part, that Florida, at least Broward County, there's a lot of excitement about Gillum as a candidate. And I got to say, I'm surprised. You know, the night of the primary when he won, I didn't think the Democrats would have a chance because I just wasn't sure that Florida was ready to elect an African American. And
even though I went for Obama twice.
Yes, I know, but I just, you know, there for me, I just felt that there was that the Obama presidency, that a lot of people reacted to him the way they did because of the color of his skin. And I didn't think Florida would elect a black man. And now I see that, wow, you know, he really has excited people. And what you learn is that candidates matter. And he's so likable. He seems more likable than DeSantis. So he has energized voters far beyond what any of the other Democratic candidates, I believe, could have. And because of the excitement around him, I think there's a good chance that Bill Nelson could win when he might not otherwise have.
Candidates certainly matter, Nancy and Rick, but so does party structure. And in 2016, part of the autopsy in Florida for the Democrats was there was a big push and pull between how the state wanted to run the top of the ticket, Secretary Clinton, and how her own campaign, the national campaign, wanted to run in Florida. As the excitement about the candidacy of Mayor Gillum has continued, what about the party structure and the grassroots campaign that he so successfully ran during the primary and has continued to employ to vex a lot of pollsters here during the general campaign?
I see Andrew Gillum running a really comprehensive, hit-the-ground-running campaign that, I must say, surprises me for a Democrat in this state. The Democratic Party in this state has been MIA. It has been out of power for so long.
Certainly at the state level.
And it has been out of power for so long that, unfortunately, it has a shallow bench. And I think that people are running in spite of the party structure. They are saying, this is my shot. And I think that voters are ready for new faces, for unusual suspects. And again, you know, I think Trump came to the Trump's victory also lent credibility to, as I said, the unusual suspects.
Rick?
Yeah, I think that that what you'll see, and I think what we're already starting to feel a little bit of, is a lot more diversity within the Democratic power structure in terms of their voices being heard and them speaking up. And I think that if Gillum does win, you will see a little bit of a power shift in that regard. I think that as Nancy said, the bench has been shallow for quite a bit, and that has made a lot of Democrats nervous over the years. But the energy that Rosemary was speaking about earlier, that this guy brings to a campaign, has brought to the campaign, I think has really energized a new group of Democrats. I mean, who could have imagined Nikki Fried running for agriculture commissioner? You know, I'm not saying she's going to win. You know, but just to even see her competitive like this is really, really surprising in the state of Florida.
I would just add that this election has also made clear that the state political parties just are not as relevant as they once were. Mm. With each election cycle, we see them play less and less a role. And that, you know, you're absolutely right, Nancy, about the Democratic Party in state, but even the Republican Party of Florida is not the muscle that it once was. And it's because the election laws have changed. People now give their money to candidates, to political action committees, to incumbents. I mean, Governor Scott doesn't give money to the Republican Party of Florida. So the influence of the state parties has diminished, and it's really clear this cycle.
And I think as evidence of that, look at the Republican candidate for governor here, who was the untraditional Republican candidate for many, many months. Of course, the traditional dyed-in-red Florida Republican, Adam Putnam, the agriculture commissioner, former representative from the Panhandle, was quickly swept away with on behalf of Ron DeSantis and his campaign.
That's right. Adam was the choice of the establishment Republican, as was, you know, 2 years ago, Jeb Bush, the choice of the Republican establishment in Florida.
That's right.
So, and Donald Trump won the presidency without the party helping fund his campaign I mean, after the primary, and really right before the primary, mm-hmm. when it was clear DeSantis was so far ahead in the polls, people in the party started coming on board. But no, it's a new, the Republican Party has changed. What it stands for is different than what it used to be.
800-743-WLRN, what's motivating you to turn out to vote? If you're registered but have decided to sit this one out, why? We'd like to hear from you. 800-743-9576. Edward in Miami wrote us, I'll be doing a measured vote, meaning I will vote to help Democrats get more seats. But in my state, I'll be more careful as there's a Democrat that wants to push legalization of marijuana, which Edward says I disapprove. Jay in Miami, my concerns and motivation were all related to our region's sustainability, climate change versus economic growth. Julie in Palm Beach Gardens wrote us, I already voted. I tried to support people who I hoped would be progressive. She says she's a registered independent in Palm Beach County. All right, from Key West up to the Palm Beaches, it is 800-743-WLRN or on Twitter at WLRN. We'll begin in Fort Lauderdale where Dan has been patient. Go ahead, Dan, you're on the radio. Dan, you with us?
Hey, yes, thanks for taking my call and thanks for the program.
Sure thing, go ahead.
I voted last week. I posted on my Facebook page to 200 friends that I voted. Why haven't you? And if you don't, unfriend me now. Because I really mean it. I don't even want to be friends with anybody who isn't so concerned about the direction of this nation and this state. And I can't believe that anybody today would sit home, would stay home with the opportunity that we have to vote now. With so many people who gave their lives for this opportunity for so long, it's been such a struggle for so many, and it's easy for most of us today.
So, Dan, I have to ask then, has anybody unfriended you with your threat on Facebook?
Not that I noticed.
All right.
I should go look, I guess.
I suppose so. Dan's relationship status is voted. That's what he is saying there in Fort Lauderdale. Appreciate that, Dan. Jerry in West Palm Beach is on line three. Go ahead, Jerry. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in today.
Hey, thank you for allowing me to speak on the air.
Our pleasure. Go ahead.
Hey, what I'd like to say is I was registered always as an independent because I just never felt like we should be in a two-party system. I think we need more. But that's a whole nother show. But after what I saw happen in when Trump got elected and just this total partisanship on the Republican side where they said, OK, we got it. We really don't like what we're hearing from Trump. So we're going to go along with it because we're getting what we want. And that whole sort of mentality switched me now to I have to start voting the other way. As in, I voted for the libertarian for the presidential election, because I think we do need, you know, I thought Gary Johnson, if you ever let him on a debate, he actually had pretty good ideas, but they weren't even going to let it happen. And now I'm going to have to vote totally Democrat.
Jerry, let me ask you just a quick question there. Do you feel, I mean, to the point that we were making with the editorial page editors, they were talking about, do you feel the parties have moved away from your politics or the other way around?
A little bit of both, because I'm kind of, I looked at where I really am, and I'm kind of like, I like to be a little conservative with financial stuff. We shouldn't just give away the boat. But on the social issues, come on, man, we're in 2018. You have to kind of give a little bit of that way. So I guess I'm a moderate Democrat, and guess what? We have no party anymore as a moderate Democrat. We're kind of all alone, I think.
Jerry, I have a question for you. You are registered independent. Do you think we should have open primaries so that you and your, you know, your fellow independents can weigh in the primaries?
Oh, that's another great point. I would say it would be helpful because I really like to be able to be involved in that because I saw a couple participants on the Democratic side. I like Philip Levine, to be honest with you. But on the other hand, I think Gillum is a good choice, too. I just think we have to balance the power in our country right now. The way it's going is we're going to be – we could be headed to a civil war. I know that's far-fetched. But there is so much anger. You should see that, which you do by being a talk radio show. There's so much anger going on out there. And it's like as soon as you say that you believe a certain thing, they automatically throw you as a socialistic liberal. Yep. And it's like, wait a minute. Yep. I just believe in a few things. Can I be in the middle? No, you either got to be way over here or you got to be way over there. And I'm a man without a party, but what can I do? I can't let the Republicans keep doing what they're doing to our nation right now. And what All Trump right. does, he's just not a good person.
Jerry, we appreciate the energy there at West Palm Beach. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in today. Always appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Sure thing.
Great show.
We hear from a lot of you. Let's continue in Palm Beach County. Marshall in Royal Palm Beach on line 4. Marshall, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. If I voted myself last Sunday, to everyone listening, Sunday you can go vote. You can go vote tomorrow and Sunday. So I voted, and I'm very energized to vote, and I am very pleased with what's going on right now in this country. And I am scared. And to be honest with you, I am scared. I am a black man living with a white woman. And right now, it's racially divided. And my wife is Republican. I'm a Democrat. And we get along very fine. we get along very fine. And I met her. She was a Republican. And I was a Democrat. We still got together. We got engaged. We got married. We have a son right now. But now, the way things are, I'm afraid for my son. Because my son right now, it's considered as a black man. Okay? Just because, you know, I'm a black father, and I'm scared to death to see what's happening in this country. The church that I go to, it's pulverized. People unfriending me. People are running away from me. The fact that I disagree with the president, there's a lot of things that he's doing. So that's why I voted. I went and voted because the president, this needs to be check and balance because the president is running with everything. And the House just agrees with anything and everything that the president wants to do. But we need some people that's going to keep the president accountable for those actions.
Marshall, we got it. Thank you so much for your call and for your voice today from Royal Palm Beach and politically a House divided there. Marshall, the Democrat married to a Republican. Love is blind, after all, right, Christy? Love is blind, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Jerry and Marshall, both in Palm Beach County, putting voice to more than just politics and policies, but really voicing some more than concern, real kind of fright about the direction of relations in this country.
Right, and I think that's motivating a lot of people also. I think that and I want to get to this thing about independence at some point, but I also want to say, first of all, to I guess Dan, who was unfriending people, telling people, look, I don't want to know you if you didn't vote, you know, go ahead and preach, because that is the right way to, go about it. I think that you are seeing a lot of people in this country, and we've all talked about this in terms of the hatred and incivility that has always been here. But because we are a civil society that and a democracy, we have always been able to keep it from I guess it's just bubbling so much up in everything in the last, well, since the Civil War anyway. And I think now people are looking and they're saying, boy, I haven't seen things this bad in this country between the races and other groups since the Civil Rights era. And it is frightening a lot of people. And I think, and again, it's motivating a lot of people. So that's why I get, and from there, I would say that's why I've always felt that this race, the races in Florida anyway, really hinge on non-party affiliated voters and independents. And whoever, first of all, of course, there's the basic of you got to get your base out and everything. But it's that nearly one third of registered voters in Florida who are non-party affiliated, who I believe whoever captures the largest percent of those people are going to win, you know, win in this race. And that's where I believe the discussion and the feelings about the incivility and everything really comes into play, because I believe those people are going to say, look, I like the way the economy is going and all of that. I love 4% growth. But at what cost? You know, and is it costing our soul?
Yeah, it's interesting, Nancy. What Rick mentioned there right at the end, the economy traditionally, you know, historically has been the number one issue: economy, jobs, some kind of form of that. But that has begun to kind of fall back. It's still amongst the top five issues according to the public opinion polls, but it no longer is necessarily the number one first item.
Right. Exactly. And again, policy really matters, and policy that affects people's lives beyond being able to comfortably put food on the table. Yeah. It matters, which is why education ranks high and health care, and the fear of losing coverage of pre-existing conditions. And I think a lot of voters are asking on both sides, in both parties and MPAs, on what planet do some of these elected leaders live on where pre-existing, you know, conditions can be thrown under the bus? You know, and so, yes, those are major drivers, too.
Rosemary, you sat across the table from a number of those names that voters are seeing on the ballot. How connected are they to these real, what I call, kind of kitchen table issues, be it health care, you know, borrowing costs, paychecks, insurance, all the kinds of things that that all kind of Florida families deal with?
Yeah, you know, at the local level, I don't know that. You know, we interviewed candidates for 19 cities, and I don't really know that those really are the issues that they're talking about. They're sort of talking about city government and police contracts and do we have enough cops on the street and what's the condition of our city hall and, you know, should we, what about transportation? And then at the state level, those who we interviewed, the issue, you know, we just have such a short attention span. You know, we went from talking about guns to talking. We tried to raise the issue of sea level rise. There was the issue, the blue-green algae and then the red tide. And then it's, now pre-existing conditions. It is so hard for people to really be a one-issue voter. And so I think they're just sort of dividing into their camps, and that where we have our most impact as in weighing in endorsements, it's not at some of these races. People know who they're going to vote for. Yeah. The big hits we're getting on our websites and our endorsements are for the constitutional amendments and the, you know, the retention of the Florida Supreme, the judges, and the county charter questions.
There's no shortage of questions on the ballot, no doubt. We're going to continue to get into them. Lots of great calls. Keep coming. We'll get to as many as we can here. It is 800-743-WLRN. What's motivating you to vote? What is the candidate or the issue that is taking you into the ballot box this fall? Let us know at that phone number. Shariah from Doral wrote us, I voted early because my ballot was 4 pages, and due to the political environment, I wanted to do my part. I invested time and research for each candidate and referenda. I voted early before I found it convenient to vote at a location closer to my work. versus my assigned voting location. Jay, in West Palm Beach, the lobbyists have the biggest say, he says, as to what gets done in America. So short of hiring a lobbyist, Jay writes, it's the most important thing I can do to affect our future. What's motivating your ballot this fall? 800-743-9576 as the South Florida Roundup continues after this. We're back on the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN, and I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. During election season, South Florida appears closer than ever to Tallahassee and Washington, D.C., certainly. This week, two presidential visits taking place. President Donald Trump was in Fort Myers Wednesday campaigning for top Republican candidates. Today, on this Friday, former President Barack Obama is rallying Democrats in Miami. They're drumming up support for the candidates running for governor and the U.S. Senate specifically. But there's a number of high-profile local races that will decide the delegation of South Florida lawmakers sent to Congress and sent to Tallahassee. A rare open seat in Miami-Dade County's 27th congressional district left vacant by retiring Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Layton. Democratic challenger Debbie Mercosal-Powell is running against Republican incumbent Carlos Curbelo in Dade County's 26th congressional race, which also includes Monroe County. So what are the local races that have your attention? How does the makeup of the local group of lawmakers affect South Florida issues represented in Tallahassee and Washington, D.C.? Here's Thomas Ortega from Broward County.
As a general rule of thumb, I don't like people who don't stand for anything, who bend to whichever way the wind blows. But not liking Trump or his rhetoric isn't enough by itself. If I'm going to vote for somebody, they should be compelling and inspiring what they say and do.
Julio Camacho of Hollywood sent us this message.
What is motivating me to vote is that our environment needs proactive politicians, not reactive ones.
Valerie in North Miami wrote us, leaving my hometown of Rockwall, Texas, and moving to college in Miami has really opened my eyes and changed my views. Valerie continues, I am now a Democratic voter and have a lot of empathy for people. Scott in Miami Lakes wrote us, I was NPA, non-party affiliated, for 22 years and became a registered Democrat after the tax bill was passed. Scott says he wants candidates in the middle, but they all seem to get eliminated at the primary level. Once they get in office, it's all about staying there. We need term limits. Scott, certainly on the state and local levels, we have those term limits, not at the federal level, though. Joshua in Plantation wrote us, since I registered to vote, I have had no political affiliation, Republican or Democrat, doesn't bother me. The right person is who we need. Joshua continues, the right person is who we need, regardless of race, sex, or political affiliation. And honestly, the people we have in office currently are not them, according to Joshua. 800-743-WLRN, your voting experience, what's motivating you? 800-743-9576. You can also send us a tweet at WLRN. The editorial page editors of the Miami Herald, the Sun Sentinel, and the Palm Beach Post are with us. Nancy Ankrum, Rosemary O'Hara, and Rick Christie back with us here on the Florida Roundup. Always great to have each of you. We were just talking about voting, and the experience of voting has changed in our voting careers, certainly. We are reminiscing. I remember going in with my parents into the actual voting booth where you pulled the arm and the curtains closed behind you, and it was just you and your parent, in this case usually my dad, and the ballot and punching the buttons. I just went to vote over the weekend, and I went on the weekend so I could take my kids with me. It was a little bit of a different experience, but trying to engender that kind of civic attitude, that civic involvement is important. How do you remember, beyond your professional careers, that first moment with the ballot, Rosemary?
Gosh, I don't remember. But I was saying during the break, I like to go on election day because there's something ennobling about standing in line with my fellow voters. And, you know, I usually ask them questions. And I love when I see that the newspaper is in their hands, less so anymore. Now it's maybe they're looking on the phone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, know how we vote is so changed. And really every day is election day during early voting.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I have been so befuddled by these questions that are being asked by the media and academics, will young people vote? And young people are responding. Some are saying yeah, some are shrugging and going meh. I remember, I mean, clearly there was such a different time politically, and engagement was, I guess, maybe different, or and being able to vote for the first time. And I and my friends thought it was just the best thing ever. We had seen our parents do it for so long, and it really was a sign of adulthood. And this was New York, so voting was a sign of adulthood, because in New York, no one needed to get their driver's license at 18, you know? I didn't learn to drive till I was in my 20s, you know?
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
Well, for me, my best memories about voting are with taking my daughters to the voting booths. We have three girls. And just when they were old enough, basically taking them, each of my wife and I taking them into the voting booth with us and voting, kind of trying to, as you said, kind of build up this feeling of engagement, civic engagement, and this is something you should be doing and that you have a responsibility. And I'm just so proud that they continue to do that now. I think I was just mentioning to Nancy earlier that, yep, the third one is ready to go. You know, we got two already and everything. And it's so important to do that. And actually, I write a column to this effect for this coming Sunday about young voters and millennials and some of the surveys that are out there with them saying that they're not going to vote in many cases, which is really disappointing, to be honest with you. And surprising, given, I think, what Rosemary mentioned earlier when we had the tragedy at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and everybody was fired up, you know, and all of that stuff. And it just seems to have died down some. And if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind. I wanted to read a quote from Frank Cherubino, the Palm Beach Post columnist. He wrote about FAU, early voting at FAU, and how it's not as much as people thought. And I just want to read this one quote from this one young woman. Quote, "I guess I haven't gotten into this election," said Melissa Feingold, 18, an exercise science major. Quote, "Most of my friends are voting, but I haven't done the research, so I'm not voting." And that, just to hear that, really has just got to bring you
takes
down.
Takes the wind out of your sails.
It does,
doesn't it?
You know, as, I think for us, particularly
not
as
editors.
No. There's the
no.
contrary opinion.
I want people to vote, and I used to believe that everybody should vote. But now I believe that you ought to be informed before you vote. Don't just go in there and say, oh, I recognize that name. That just perpetuates, you know, it's not. So do your work. That's what it means to be a citizen. So, yeah, if she's not going to get informed, don't vote.
But, you know, Melissa needs to know that we've done the work for her. And she can go online and just vote the way we have suggested.
I guess the part that I was focused on, Rosemary, because I don't really disagree with you too much on that. But my I was focused on the fact that she wasn't informed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and with millennials, who we all like to feel, those of us who have kids in that age group, is that they're smarter than us. they're more well-educated than we are. And we invested a great deal in them, you know, and so that they could take advantage of this. And so to hear a young voter say that they aren't informed is really the part that just kind of hurts a great deal.
Yeah, maybe a voter making a choice not to be informed.
Yeah.
And you know, as hard as all of us in this room and all of our staff's work on informing the public, it is still up to those members of the public to be able to take advantage of those opportunities to inform themselves. So high information voter, low information voter, which are you here on the Florida Roundup? Let us know. Let's go to William on line 11 in Miami. Go ahead, William. Thanks for holding on. Your thoughts.
And thank you for taking my call. I'm an independent registered, and I voted by mail for Andrew Gillum. And the reason is because it seems that his intention is to operate the state in a more traditional form rather than what seems to be DeSantis extending an agenda that is moved forward by the president or the Republican Party.
William, when you mean more traditional, what put some more branches on that.
All right. Traditionally, I've seen, well, I'm 51, I'd like to say, and I've been in Florida since I was an infant. And what I've seen traditionally is that the state was operated in a form that was centric, state government that extended itself into the counties and municipalities. And when I see DeSantis, I see a support of a continuation of the president's agenda, the Republican Party agenda, and it seems to be focusing on larger issues and much less than, at the end of the day, reaching down into our, yeah, our hometown issues.
Okay, William, I got it. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. You know, I think William is putting a little bit of voice to the dominance that we've seen in state politics on the part of the Florida Republican Party going back 20, 25 years or so, Rosemary. Is that being legitimately challenged in this election beyond the top of the ticket, beyond Andrew Gillum, but in terms of the state House and the state Senate and the kinds of races that we're seeing not only here in South Florida, but elsewhere?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that the issues that people care about are not really the issues that are on the agenda of the incoming House Speaker, who wants to go after the safety net hospitals and give charter schools more money. Those aren't the kinds of issues that I hear people talking about.
This is Jose Oliva, who's right, a representative from Miami-Dade County.
But I think your caller has a point. I think that for the past, I don't know how many decades, the Republicans have been extremely organized and disciplined in in instilling their ideology and their agendas for good and for ill. And I see, I think mostly in the past few years, we have seen a lot that's been for ill, for the ill of the rest of us. And putting the people who bear that ideology at the heads of states, we saw it, at least I recognized it in this, the primary for attorney general in this state. And it, I do believe that there is an agenda that is not Florida's, or pick a state, but that is committed to, you know, committed to a vision that might not be those of normal Americans.
One example would be the environment. You know, the Republican Party had, remember when Texas Governor Perry couldn't remember that third agency he wanted, but it was the Department, the Environmental Protection Agency. The environment has been like a dirty word in the Republican Party. And in Florida, you know, our governor got rid of the Department of Community Affairs that oversaw
Land development, planning.
They overrode federal water rules.
Yeah.
And
however, the first position paper that Ron DeSantis released during his gubernatorial campaign was the position on the environment. It wasn't an in-depth talk about taxes or business development or job growth. Ron DeSantis, the Republican nominee for governor in the state of Florida here in 2018, his first position that came out on his website was on the environment.
Right. And it won him the endorsement of the Everglades Trust.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And bullsugar.org, I believe. And
but he's not been an environmental champion.
No.
I mean, his record doesn't show that. But
right,
to his credit, he did refuse to take money from Big Sugar.
That's right. Yep. Lots of calls here. Many of them certainly talking about leaning Democratic or leaning toward, if not already voted for Mayor Gillum. How about the DeSantis supporters or a Republican supporter? We'd love to hear from you. Certainly, it is the same phone number for both, for that matter, for a non-party affiliated voter as well. Everybody gets the same phone number here at WLRN. Give us a call, 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN is the telephone number. Carlos in Aventura is online too. Carlos, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you for your opportunity to let me speak on your program. I'm calling because regarding the importance of voting, and in my home country, Venezuela, we learned the hard way that voting was very important. So basically, millennials and young people should understand the power that voting represents for them, and to keep, like your last caller said, democracy in balance. So, and I'm not able to vote yet because I'm not a citizen, but I just wanted to, you know, to give my opinion and tell people to go out and vote whatever party they want to vote, but it's very important.
Carlos, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. Couldn't have said it better ourselves here. Weston is up next. Ralph on line one. Go ahead, Ralph. You're on the radio.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you.
Good.
My call. I just want to make a general comment that I went and voted early at the Western Library, and a lot of people were confused because there's like five pages of ballot information, and I'm not just promoting his website, but I went to ballotpedia.com,
mm-hmm.
and it gave me all the pertinent information I needed as an objective way. So I had my little cheat sheet there. I went in to vote, and I personally feel that people are going to be so confused by that I think just they're going to vote for governor and senator, and that's going to be it. And I think that Florida itself needs to, you know, I guess educate people more about, you know, doing their work beforehand, going to the websites in order to give this information to people.
Ralph, we appreciate that. I know that my colleagues here have all done voter guides. We have a guide specifically for the amendments at amendments.wlrn.org. Not only is it the 12 statewide amendments, the citizen-driven amendments, and the Constitutional Revision Commission amendments, and then you can just put in your zip code and you can see if you have any other charter amendments to the local county charter, or maybe your village or your town has some questions as well. It's all right there, and you can read the language there. Rick, you wanted to make a mention about the kind of the preparation here.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually just mention that you didn't have to go to Ballotpedia. You know, each of our papers have and our news organizations have websites that are chock full of information on each of the ballot initiatives as well as your individual candidates. Because we have actually sat down, unlike Ballotpedia, sat down and actually talked to the candidates so that we could get information for you to help you make an informed decision. So next time you don't have to go that far. Just go. You can go to your local newspaper.
We're not bitter.
Or public media radio station for that matter as well. Listen, so what's motivating your vote? Denise in South Florida wrote us, Trump inspired me to vote for the first time in my life. She writes us, I'm truly afraid for the future of this country and our place in this world. Ricardo in unincorporated Miami-Dade County wrote us, I voted and got my wife and father-in-law to vote too for the first time. I consider this to be one of the most consequential elections in my 30 years of voting. What is motivating you at the ballot box? Are you registered and choosing not to vote? Why not? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576, as the South Florida Roundup continues after this. Welcome back to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks, as always, for listening and supporting public radio. This year's ballot is busy for voters. They're deciding more than several key local and statewide races, but there's a lot more. A dozen proposed constitutional amendments are on the ballot, and perhaps even many more local items. And within each of some of those amendments, it's just a lot of questions bundled together. Take, for instance, Amendment 10. Now, Amendment 10 sandwiches questions on creating a State Department of Veterans Affairs and a State Office of Counterterrorism with a measure that would change the way some local governments are structured, namely Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Miami-Dade is the only county in Florida that does not have an elected sheriff. If Amendment 10 passes, the county would also have to elect a supervisor of elections and a tax collector, which the mayor now appoints. Here's Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez.
Maybe some people wanted more political positions, more elected positions here in this county. Being a politician myself, I don't think we need any more politicians. Thank you very much.
So in Broward County, if Amendment 10 passes, that county would lose its chief financial officer. Instead, there'd be an elected tax collector. Broward County's top administrator, Bertha Henry, doesn't like it.
We believe that we have a government that works. It's been in place since 1975, and we'd like to retain that.
Amendment 10 is not the only example of a rift between governing at the state and the local level. Fed up with state funding, Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County voters will vote on raising property taxes to support school safety and teacher pay. Broward voters approved something similar back in August. This election, Broward voters will decide on creating their own affordable housing trust, in part an effort at managing the issue locally, as opposed to Tallahassee calling the shots for affordable housing. The editorial page editors of three of South Florida's major newspapers, the Miami Herald, Sun Sentinel, and Palm Beach Post, with us still, Nancy Ankrum, Rosemary O'Hara, and Rick Christie. Rosemary, what about this push and pull that voters may not see so obviously on the ballot between state control and local control in some of these issues?
Well, one of the biggest disappointments this year was the Constitution Revision Commission, which meets every 20 years and has the opportunity to put things right on the ballot. In a number of these amendments, they put a little eye candy sugar, you know, into it to say, oh, do you want a Department of Veterans Affairs, don't you, in the Constitution? Well, we already have one. And to force counties to have to elect a sheriff, you know, there are some counties that are we better by electing our sheriff? Or are we better by having an appointed professional law enforcement person who can be held, you know, accountable for missteps? The sheriff is often the most powerful politician in the county, can get as much money in the budget as they want, and if they don't, they get to go to Tallahassee. And, you know, this was the abuse of members of the commission who don't listen to Miami-Dade or Broward. They just, you know, want to they're looking out for, I think, as the mayor said, you know, more political positions.
We put a call out for some Republican voters. We've got some folks on the line here in Hollywood. Mark, thank you for calling into WLRN. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the radio.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I actually was on the line with Gillum, but I actually voted. I am a Democrat, but I voted for DeSantis. Hmm. And the reason why is because when he said he's going to fund the reservoir below Lake Okeechobee and work on the environment, he won my vote. Here in the state, environmentally, that's what really motivated me to vote those issues.
Great, Mark. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Democrat voting Republican on the environmental issue here in Florida. Mary Beth in Deerfield Beach on line 3. Go ahead, Mary Beth. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, great. You know, I'm calling in because I'm always surprised how a panel of Democrats are surprised that, you know, Republican candidates are going to follow a Republican agenda, because that's what they do. And Democrats follow the Democrats' agenda. It's kind of, some are split along party line, and that's politics. So it was kind of perceived and put out there from your panel as a negative. And, you know, you're kind of, I'm disappointed in the show today because of the slant against, you know, I perceive anyway, the bias of the, you know, pro-Democratic, anti-Republican candidates.
So counter that, Mary Beth. Tell us about your votes.
Well, I'm going to be voting, you know, Republican. I have several that I'm going to be voting Democrat, but I'm going to vote for DeSantis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some other, I won't go down the list. I have my ballot.
You got your ballot all set there in Deerfield. Tell us about tell us about the motivation on some of those races. What are the issues that are attracting your support?
Well, you know, I Rick Scott, I'm looking to support, immigration is important to me, and I think we need to have strong borders. And, you know, if the Republicans are disappointing on, I'm disappointed a bit on some of the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. So the agricultural commission here, I'm going to be voting Democrat for her. Hmm. I think she's a little more progressive. But I think that, you know, the Republicans are, they just speak more to, you know, how I've been raised and what I find is important.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking for some objectivity out there when I'm listening to the radio.
Well, that's why we invite folks to call in here to be our counterbalance. If a voice that you're hearing on the radio you may not agree with, that's why it's all about civility and conversation. Mary Beth, we appreciate you participating today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Mary Beth there in Deerfield Beach, a millennial voter, real quick in our final moments. Anna in Miami. Go ahead, Anna.
Hi, thanks for having me. And thank you, as always, NCR, for being non-biased and getting everyone's opinions in. I really appreciate it. I registered to vote in 2004, my last year of high school. I was no party affiliation for the longest time. Grew up in a Cuban-American family that was very conservative, always voted Republican. And 2016, I finally swapped over. I took the dive, and I registered Democrat. And it's going to be Democrat until the Republican Party can get their act together.
Have you voted yet, Anna?
I have.
And by act together, what are the signs you're looking for there?
Well, environmental is a huge issue, especially for South Florida. Hmm. I mean, for these people voting Republican, we have a governor right now that doesn't even believe in saying climate change. So I don't know how people who care about the environment even want to vote for him.
Anna, we got to run. We just heard from a Republican saying that a Democrat voting Republican because of the environment. So there's a lot of winds here, cross currents in South Florida. Anna, we got to leave it there. We're up against the clock. We can do a lot of things in radio, but we can't move time, unfortunately. Rick Christie with the Palm Beach Post. Rosemary O'Hara with the Sun Sentinel, Nancy Ankrum with the Miami Herald. The three of you, always great to have you on the Roundup.
Great to be
here.
We'll
see you all back probably in about 4 weeks or so.
Thank you.
All right, enjoy Election Day. The South Florida Roundup is produced by Alexander Gonzalez. Engagement producer is Katie Lepre. Our Director of Radio Operations, Peter J. Meritz, and Director of Radio Programming, and our Technical Supervisor today is Jason Zabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Don't forget to vote. Thank you for calling, listening, and supporting public radio.